弟兄姐妹早上好。
Dear brothers, sisters, good morning.
我们很高兴在主日的清晨再一次的相聚。
It's very happy that we can get together on the Sunday morning.
那我们今天要一起开始一个新的一个系列。
So today we're going to start a new series.
这个系列就是耶稣所讲的故事。
And so this series talk about the story of Jesus tell the story.
我们大概这个系列选择了七个在福音书所记载的故事。
That we have selected seven stories in the Gospels.
那么涵盖了耶稣在不同方面的教导。
And to cover the different teachings of Jesus.
这些故事大多是虚构的。
And all the stories are fictitious.
但却是充满了当时社会这个生活的气息。
But really filled with the cultures at that time.
就很容易引起人们的共鸣和反思。
It's easy for people to reflect and to understand it.
耶稣啊，确实是一个在教导方面真是很有方法的一个大师。
And Jesus is really expert to using the story to teach.
但是因为年代已经久远，我们现代人无法理解这个当时故事的背景。
Because it's been so long, so there's time that we really don't understand the background of it.
所以才需要一些讲解，我们才能明白。
And so sometimes need some explanation for us to understand it.
但是很多的时候，真是在讲解这些故事的时候，常常没有办法说能够把那个故事原有的那个风味可以表现出来。
Very often we are not able to clearly teaching all those story from the original stories.
尽管是讲解耶稣的这些比喻非常具有挑战。
It's really filled with the challenges to talk about those stories.
但是这些耶稣所选择的这些故事确实是非常重要的一些属灵的真理。
But those stories are extremely important to giving the truth.
真是需要我们去反反复复的去思想。
We really need to pay special attention to all those stories.
所以今天我们要来看的故事就是浪子的故事。
Today we're going to talk about story of a prodigal son.
那么这是也大家非常熟悉的一个圣经故事。
And this is a story that many people are familiar with.
那这个故事记载在路加福音的第15章11节到32节。
Was recorded in Gospel Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32.
如果你有圣经的话，请你打开圣经路加福音第15章。
If you have a Bible, please turn your Bible to Luke chapter 15.
11节到32节。
Verse 11 to 32.
故事开始的时候讲到说一个人有两个儿子。
At the beginning of the story, talk about this person has two sons.
小儿子对父亲说，父亲，请你把我应得的家业分给我。他父亲就把产业分给他。
So, at the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood.
这个小儿子是要分得家产的。
And so this younger son wanted to get his portion.
就是按照犹太人的规矩呢，这个长子呢是应该得双份。
But according to Jewish tradition, the older son should get the double portion.
所以这个父亲大概会把他的家产分成三份，这个小儿子得三分之一。
So, according to the tradition, and the father should divide his wealth into three parts, and the younger son will get one third.
其实在这句话背后啊，还有很多的意思在里面。
Behind the story, there's a lot of meaning.
因为按照当时的风俗习惯呢，一般父亲过世之后，那么才会把财产分给孩子们。
Generally speaking, the son will only get the wealth after father's death.
那么父亲还在时世的时候就要求分家产。
And even the son when the father is alive asking for the wealth.
所以呢，无疑这是与诅咒父亲一样。
It's kind of undoubtedly cursing the father.
但是我们看到第十二节，这里记载这个父亲一句话都没有说。
But the father was quiet about it, and then, according to verse 12.
那么他就把家产分给了小儿子。
So he gives his younger son a portion.
那十三节说，过了不多日，小儿子就把他一切所有的都收拾起来，往远方去了。
And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country.
这小儿子要得遗产，要得家父亲的产业，只是第一步，他要离开这个家。
The first he want to do after he inherit the wealth is he want to leave home.
所以十三节说，在那里他任意放荡，浪费资产。
And then wasted his possessions with a prodigal living.
十四节，既耗尽了一切所有的，又遇着那地方大遭饥荒，就穷苦起来。
But when he had spent all, there rose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want.
所以他不得不去放猪。
So therefore, he had to start to feed the swine.
所以这十五节、十六节就讲到说，他甚至潦倒到一个地步，恨不得去吃猪食都没有人给他。
At that point, he was so hungry, he rather to eat the food of swine.
也这里也有一个背景需要我们知道哈。
So we also have to understand another background.
因为这个猪，以色列，我们知道犹太人是不吃猪肉的哈。
We know that Jewish people do not eat pork.
因为他认为猪是这个按照律法是不洁净的动物。
According to the law, the swine or we call pork or the pig are not clean.
所以我们也知道小儿子实际上是到了一个外邦人所居住的地方。
So we know the younger son actually was living in a Gentile's area.
因为以色列人是不会养猪的。
Because Jewish people will not raise pigs.
那么这些细节就给当时的听众啊是一个很大的震撼，他们就可以知道说这个小儿子落魄是到了一个什么样的程度。
So we know that how the younger son became and really give a big impact of the audience.
第十七节记载说这小儿子醒悟过来。
So finally in the verse 17 talk about He came to himself.
就说我父亲有多少的故宫，口粮有余，我倒在这里饿死吗？
He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.
我要起来到我父亲那里去，向他说，父亲，我得罪了天，又得罪了你。
I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father,I have sinned against heaven and before you.
所以这一句就讲到这个小儿子是真正的悔改了。
Wait, now we can see there's a true repentance of the younger son.
那么接下来这段经文就让我们看到他认识到自己的错误。
Then the next verse that it tells us he recognized his mistake he has made.
他说从今以后我不配为你的儿子。把我当做一个故宫吧。
And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Maybe like one of your hired servants.
所以他这里不但认识到自己的错，他在上帝面前也，他在他的父亲面前也非常的谦卑。
And besides, he recognized the mistake he has made. He was very humble before his father.
他认为他在父亲的犯了这么大的错误，他真是不配做他父亲的儿子。
After so many, the severe mistake he has made, that he's no longer worthy to be his son.
第二十节记载说，他就起来往他父亲那里去。
And so, and the verse 20 said he rose and came to his father.
但是他真的不确定他父亲会有什么样的反应。
But he had no idea how his father is going to respond.
他是如此的叛逆。
and because he was so rebellious,
他把父亲的资财全部了挥霍。
And he wasted all the wealth that he received.
那么父亲会不会接纳他呢？
Will his father accept him?
那么这些描述就为后面父亲的反应做了铺垫。
And so that paved the way of the father's response later.
我们看到第二十节就讲到父亲相离甚还远的时候，他父亲就看见了他。
And so verse 20 said he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him.
于是这父亲就动了慈心。
And the father had a compassion.
跑去抱住他的颈项，连连与他亲嘴。
And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
所以你看这个父亲激动的心情啊，这有一系列的动作来描写。
And you can tell by the description of his action because the father was so excited.
所以他跑去，他要抱住他的儿子，他要亲吻他。
He ran to his son and fell on his neck and kissed him.
古代有身份的人啊，是不跑的。
And you know, in the background, and long time ago, the people who had status, they do not run.
那么十八节第十九节我们看到这个小儿子已经提前预备好的台词。
And so you know the son already prepared what he needs to say to his father.
所以第二十一节就说他见到父亲之后他就开始把他的台词背出来了。
And so in verse 21, he recited his things that he wanted to talk to his dad, so he said it.
我们如果对比二十一节跟十八节、十九节就会发现哈。
If we see the comparison of verse 21 and verse 18,
那么小儿子的台词没有说完的。
And so the son did not finish the word that he prepared.
他最后那句话把我当成一个雇工吧，那句话还没有说出口。
He did not even get a chance to even say that, just treat me as your hired servant.
那么父亲已经打断了他的话。
And his father interrupted him.
父亲吩咐他的仆人说，把那上好的袍子快拿出来给他穿，把戒指戴在他指头上，把鞋穿在他脚上。
But the father said to his servants,Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet.
所以这个袍子表明是这个人是有身份。
And with the robe described, this person has a status.
因为做雇工的话，你做工人，你不可能穿袍子，没有办法做事情。
The hired servant do not wear robes because you cannot work in those robes.
而且把戒指戴他这个戒指。啊，这个古代人用戒指是代表他在这个家里面是有权柄的。
And usually ring that means symbolize there's authority.
那么把鞋也穿在脚上，这一切都表明说他完全恢复他以前儿子的身份。
And sandal on his feet, all those things added together means that his status has been recovered.
所以他回归父亲的家，他不是雇工，乃是儿子。
So he returned his father's home. He's still like a son, not like a hired servant.
第二十三节，这父亲就吩咐仆人说：“把那肥牛肚牵来宰了，我们可以吃喝快乐。”
So the father actually said to the servant, "Bring the fat cow here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry."
第二十四节讲到说父亲这样做的原因。因为我这儿子是从死里而活，失而又得的。
And so verse 24 to explain the reason, because for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
他们就快乐起来。
So they began to be merry.
那么这句话死而复活，失而复得，在32节又重复了一遍。
And so they talk about the dead and the life again, and lost and found, repeated in verse 32.
那么这个快乐在23、24节 也是在32节重复起来。
So in the word Mary also that repeated in verse 32.
所以我们就晓得这个故事的主题是表明什么。
So we know the purpose or focus of this passage is about what?
故事讲到第24节的时候，可能当时听的人都以为这个故事就要结束了。
So when people listen to up to the verse 22, thought this is the end of the story.
但是耶稣语气一转，大儿子突然登场。
Then all of a sudden, the Jesus changes his tone, and then the older son and enter to the stage.
所以大家才突然间想起来，这第一句话耶稣讲的故事说，一个人有两个儿子。
Now you remember Jesus said the one man has two sons.
这个大儿子登场之后，他的态度却和家里这个欢喜快乐的气氛格格不入。
And so when the older son entered to the stage, you can tell his attitude is totally opposite of what is going on in the family at that time.
他心里对父亲充满了怨恨。
His heart was filled with bitterness toward his dad.
我们看到第29节，他根本没有称呼父亲。
And in verse 22, he did not even call his father, father.
那么第30节，我们看到他说你这个儿子。
And in verse 30, he said, this son of yours.
所以他称呼回家的弟弟说你的儿子。
And he called his younger brother and to his dad said, your son.
如果对比27节的话，我们就看到仆人说是你兄弟来了。
And if you contrast to the verse 27, the servant said, your brother has come.
第32节，他的父亲也跟他说你的兄弟。
And the verse 32 and talk about your brother.
所以这就完全映衬出这个大儿子他看事情的角度是怎样。
Now we can reflect the angle of this older son.
他认为父亲是不公平的。
He feels that his dad is unfair.
因为他这里讲到说他这么辛苦的服侍父亲多年，却从来没有得到一只山羊羔。
And then he has worked for his dad for so long, but he never received a fat cow.
这个故事里面呢，特别强调了这个肥牛肚的这个概念。
Especially in the story, it emphasizes a fat cow.
这个出现了三次，就说明其实这个肥牛肚在当时啊，是非常贵重的。
The mentioned three times because the fat cow.At that time, it's very, very precious.
所以这个山羊羔大概只有肥牛肚 20% 的价值。
And so actually the goat is only 20% of the value of the fat cow.
所以就可见这大儿子心里面充满了很多的苦毒。
So you can see the older son is filled with bitterness.
虽然他跟父亲一起同住，但他也是一个失落的儿子。
But even though he lived with his dad at that time, but he was also a lost son.
大儿子本来是儿子的身份。
The older son originally had a sonship.
但是他却把自己当成雇工一样。
However, he regarded himself as a higher servant.
所以父亲出来就安慰他说，你为什么生气呢？我的一切都是你的。
So the father took initiative to comfort him and to tell him that everything I have is yours.
所以为了小儿子回归啊，父亲是不惜一切的代价。
So you can see that the father willing to pay for everything to bring the younger son return.
故事的结尾啊，没有提及这个大儿子对父亲的劝告有什么样的回应。
The end of the story did not mention that the older son's response to his father's comfort.
所以这个故事结束的时候，为听众留下了一个悬念。
So end of the story left a suspense for the audience.
所以浪子的故事是一个大家非常熟悉的故事。
So the prodigal son is a very famous story for many.
那么反映在很多的这个艺术作品当中。
Has reflected in many arts.
那甚至伦勃朗有一幅的荷兰的一个作家伦勃朗，他有一幅名画就叫浪子回头。
So Dutch artist, his name is Rembrandt, That very famous oil painting is called The Return of Prodigal Son.
这幅画也非常著名的哈。
And this painting is extremely famous.
但是其实这个标题啊并不十分的确切。
But the title of this art is not very accurate.
因为小儿子的故事实际上是占据了耶稣所讲这个故事的前半部。
And also the younger son's story is only occupying half of the story of Jesus being telling.
这个故事分两部分哈。
And so the whole story divided to two.
11节到24节是有关小儿子。
The verse 11 to 24 is about the younger son.
25到32节这是有关于大儿子。
But the verse 25 to 32 is about the older son.
我们可以想一想这个故事的主角是谁。
So who is the protagonist of the story?
那这个故事的主角是小儿子吗还是大儿子
?So is this the main character, the younger son or the older son?
其实他们都不是。
None of them.
父亲才是真正的主角。
The father is the real main character here.
就耶稣在这个故事中用父亲来比喻上帝。
And Jesus using the story to talk about the father is a metaphor for God.
那小儿子是代表那些失丧的罪人。
And the younger son is that to describe the people who have been lost.
那么大儿子是那些代表那些自以为义的法利赛人。
The older son represents the self-righteousness Pharisees.
所以从上下文我们就可以看出耶稣讲这个故事的目的乃是回应在前面。法利赛人对他的指控。
So from the context, it can be seen that the purpose of Jesus telling the story was to respond to the accusation of the Pharisees.
因为他们说看到耶稣常常跟那些税吏啊，跟那些罪人在一起，他们就有些嫉妒。
So they accused Jesus very often, spent time with the tax collector and the prostitute.
所以这个故事中呢，父亲对小儿子的接纳。就表示上帝如何接纳世上的人。
So in this story, the father's acceptance of the younger son show how God accepts the lost.
这就解释了为什么耶稣要和这些罪人在一起。
That explains why Jesus spent time with the sinners.
这大儿子的抗议呢，就映照出法利赛人的迷惑。
So the older son's protest reflect the confusion of the Pharisees.
虽然身在上帝的家中，他们却完全不晓得上帝的心意。
But even though they were in God's house, but they did not know the heart of God.
虽然方式不同，但两个儿子是犯了同样的错误。
Although it shows the different manifestation of those two sons, but it shows that they've all made the same mistake.
他们希望拥有父亲的产业，却忽视了。他们人生中真正的祝福，那是与父亲的同在。
They hope to own the father's wealth, but ignore the true blessing of being with the father.
不但是小儿子在这里失散了。
Not only the younger son was lost.
乃是两个儿子都没有办法体会上帝的心意。
But rather both sons unable to understand father's heart.
那么这故事我们看到小儿子有回转。
So we see the story that the younger son actually returned home.
但是我们对大儿子是怎么样的反应却没有一个答案。
So we have no answer what is the response of the older son.
其实啊这个故事不光是讲到这个小儿子的失散。
And so this story is not only talk about the prodigal son.
其实也是提醒我们每一个人我们对上帝的认识实际上决定了我们和他的关系。
It also reminds us that how we know God is determine our relationship with him.
所以这个故事为我们勾画出上帝真实的形象。
It really portrays the true image of God.
但是很多时候我们对上帝的形象是有一些错误的认知。
And very often our image of God is very distorted.
我们如果想到上帝时，常常讲到他可能是一个长着白胡子的老人。
And sometimes we think about God, we think about almost like a Santa Claus and with a white beard.
他可能高高的坐在天上，有个云彩的上面这样子。
and he sits sitting very high on the cloud.
我们很难想象我们怎么样可以跟他去亲近。
We cannot fathom how we can be very close to him.
所以当我想到上帝的时候，我们会想到上帝是法官，好像非常的严厉。
And so sometimes we think that God is almost like a judge, is very severe.
那么随时随刻他在观察我们，在找出我们犯错的地方。
Anytime he's looking for faulting us.
那这些形象啊，多少都会影响到我们跟神的关系啊。
Those images of God that will affect our relationship with him.
那以前有个牧师讲到就说啊，你知道吗？要发明一个新的机器的话，把你的放在这个机器放在你的头上哈。
And so there's one pastor in the past that preached that you want to create a machine to put on your head.
然后你所有的心思意念都会放在一个投影器上哈，都会展示给所有的人看。
So everything, all the thoughts you have is like a projector will show up and other people can see it.
哇，上帝如果像是有这样的机器，知道我们所有这些。啊，我们觉得是实在是没有办法。
We really think that that's very difficult if God knows every thought that we have.
所以我们自然和上帝就有一种好像隔离、远离的一种感觉。
So automatically we will distance ourselves from God.
所以我们回到这个故事来看到上帝真实的形象。
But now when you go back to the story that we see the true image of God.
那么父亲是怎样容忍这个小儿子的悖逆
？And so we can see the how father that tolerate the rebellious of the younger son.
这就描绘了上帝对世上罪人的一个宽容。
And we see the acceptance that of the lost people.
这个父亲怎样接纳这个回转的小儿子
？The father accepted the return the younger son.
这就比喻出这个上帝是何等欢喜快乐接纳那些悔改的人。
It's a metaphor of how happy God is accepted repentant people.
父亲怎样去规劝生气的大儿子
？The father exhorted the angry older son.
就表明了上帝是何等盼望他的儿女去体会他的心意。
To really show how much God expects his children to experience his heart.
所以上帝的恩慈、怜悯跟宽容在这个故事中展现的无疑。
So God's kindness, mercy and tolerance are fully demonstrated in this story.
所以听到这个故事之后，我每个人都会扪心自问说，我到底是那个小儿子呢，还是那个大儿子
？Well, after we hear the story, we very often we ask ourselves, am I the younger son or am I the older son?
其实不论是哪一种情况，这都是人类最根本的问题。
And this is a very basic question, no matter what situation you are in.
人们对上帝的认知已经严重的扭曲了。
And those false image really has been really extruded our relationship with God.
以至于我们不乐意去亲近他。
So therefore, we do not want to be close to him.
这些可能跟我们过去的经验有关系哈。
This really has to do with experience that we had in the past.
可能我们过去的教会生活没有一个很好的经历。
Maybe we have very negative experience in the church in the past.
可能我们遇到一些自称是代表上帝的人，可能是牧师啊、神父啊或教会的领袖，他们没有一个好的见证。
And many Christians, maybe including the pastors, that did not have a good testimonies.
可能在我们成长的生活中，我们有一些非常不好的这种跟权威相处的这种经历啊。
And we do not have very positive experience with the authority.
所以这些加起来，让我们最后不分青红皂白，我们就连上帝一起的拒绝。
So even so, with all the experience added together, we just reject God.
我们知道上帝是所有他的属性啊，他的恩典，他的慈爱啊，他有宽容等等，我们都知道。
We know in our head, we know His mercy, His grace, and His tolerance.
但是这些都是有关上帝的概念。
But that's just only the concept of God.
但是在我们头脑中上帝的影像呢却跟概念是不一样。
But the concept is different than the true image of God.
这些影像啊乃是图画。
And those image is, the concept is just like a picture.
伴随着我们的思绪 和感受。
And stay with us.
所以这个强有力的影响着我们。
That strong, really, the perception of God has been severely distorted that image of true God.
所以在我们的信仰生活中呢，我们是一方面我们相信的上帝是一些概念的东西，我们相信那是圣经告诉我们，牧师告诉我们是正确的，我们觉得是对的。
And very often we have the concept that being according to the Bible, according to the pastor, we know that is accurate.
那么但是另一方面我们所自己所有的这个图画呢却是由我们中生活经历这样自然衍生的，是扭曲的。
On the other hand, that very often is those image of God is being distorted according to our past experience.
所以造成了一种两极分化的情况。
So it became very, very polarized.
那有一次我跟师母到一个教会去访问哈。
And one time, me and Becky went to visit to another church.
那我们到了教会的时候呢，和一些弟兄姐妹有一些坐在一起啊，有一些交通啊。
So we sat with a bunch of brothers and sisters to have fellowship.
那我跟师母就选择这个桌子的一侧，我们就坐下。
So we pick a table and we sat down.
哎呀，很奇怪，结果进来的人没有人乐意坐在我们这一侧，大家都坐在另外一侧。
And it's very interesting enough that nobody wants to sit very close to us. They all sit on the other side of the table.
怎么为什么没有人乐意跟牧师坐在一起呢？
How come nobody wants to sit with a pastor?
于是我们就请一个姐妹说，那你是这个唯一的姐妹，你应该跟师母坐在一起啊。
And then we invited one sister, because she's the only sister, we asked her to sit with Becky.
所以这个姐妹就不得已坐在我们的旁边啊。
And unwillingly, the sister that had to sit with us.
有的时候我们觉得跟牧师都要保持一定的距离哈。
And very often we feel we need to keep distance with the pastor.
你知有些牧师会冷不丁问你今天有没有灵修啊？
Because sometimes you're afraid that the pastor will ask you, did you have a daily quiet time?
所以我们要保持距离。
So we will need to keep distance from the pastor.
如果我们跟牧师这些会保持距离的话，你想我们跟上帝那得有多远的距离？
Can you imagine if we keep distant with a pastor and how we also keep distant from our Lord?
所以上帝啊是可亲近的。
We know God wants us to be close to him.
因为他喜悦我们去亲近他。
He pleases us to get close to him.
那么如果我们愿意去亲近上帝的话，上帝就会更加的亲近我们。
You're willing to draw close to God, God will draw close to us.
但是啊，我们要想做到亲近上帝，首先就要纠正我们头脑中这些有关上帝这些错误的影像。
But in order to do this, we have to correct the wrong image of God in our heads.
我们可能觉得说，哎呀，我们自己圣经都知道的不多，我能说自己是好基督徒吗？
Very often we say, we do not have enough knowledge of the Bible. Am I really a good Christian?
Yeah. 我们可能觉得我们亲近上帝说不定会被上帝责斥。
And we feel like if we're in that situation, if we get close to God and we'll be rebuked by him.
可能有的时候我们觉得上帝是无所不知无所不能，他知道我所有的这些不好的地方，他还能接纳我。
And we know God is all-knowing. If he knows all my faults, will he accept me?
但是不错，上帝确实知道我们所有的缺点。
Yes, God knows all our sin and faults.
但他依然爱惜我们的生命。
But he still loves us.
因为他不但知道我们的过去，今天更重要的是他知道我们的未来。
Besides, he knows all our past, but also he knows all our future.
如果我们觉得上帝影像是一个格外严厉的，那自然我们就会 离他比较远一点哈。
If we our image of God is very severe, we will not draw close to Him.
我们想，你看，陈牧师都要求大家要做功课。
And you know, like your Pastor Chen asked people to do homework.
不但要来上课，还要做功课，这个要求很高哈。
Besides, you go to the class, you have to do a homework. This requirement is really high.
那么，是不是我们来到上帝面前，上帝对我们的要求也是很高
？The God's requirement of us is also very high and very hard to accomplish.
就好像有一个天梯一样，我们不断的去爬，不断去爬，想去接近上帝。
It's also as the guy is at the end of the ladder. We keep climbing the ladder, try to get close to him.
但是每当我们更去接近他的时候，发现上帝又往上移了好几层啊。
But every time we climb the ladder, but since the God's ladder becomes longer and longer,
好像我们永远达不到他的要求一样。
We will never achieve his requirement.
这些所谓的影像都会影响到我们跟上帝的亲近。
So all those image will become a barrier to close to God.
对，如何去纠正这些影像呢？
How can we correct those images?
那就是使用圣经中所告诉我们上帝这些影像来代替这些错误的观念。
So we need to use the image of God in the Bible to replace those wrong images.
所以当我们的心呢向上帝打开的时候，
When we're willing to open our hearts,
我们可以坦然无惧来到上帝的面前。
And we can come to our God openly.
那么伸出我们的双手，我们自然就会
stretch our arms.
我们自然就会得到上帝的拥抱。
And God will embrace us.
因为上帝就像那故事中的父亲一样。
Because God is like the father in the story.
他在盼望着我们的回归。
Waiting for our return.
我还记得我们参加有一次去参加短宣，我们回来的时候哈，回到。
And one time remember we went to a short-term mission when we came home.
那当我们回到教会的时候，我们很多的人，那家里人都来接我们，因为离开很久哈。
And so when we return church, there are so many people there, including our family.
我们看到那些小小孩，一看到啊。爸爸妈妈回来都啊开心的不得了，马上跑过去啊，跟父母来相抱在一起哈。
And so we see those little children haven't seen their parents for a while. When they saw their parent, they immediately ran to the parents and embrace them.
但是那些大一点的孩子就不会这样，他们就远远的站在那里，把手插在胸前哈。
And so the older children are different. They kind of cross their arm, just kind of watch.
好像一副不以为然的样子哈。
And they just kind of in a disagreement.
很多的时候，我们就像这些，我们看到上帝的时候，我们希望还是远一点的好。
And very often when we look our Lord, then we say, "Oh, let's just keep distance."
所以这个浪子回头的故事就提醒我们了，上帝，我们所敬拜的这位神是一位怎样的神？
And so the prodigal son really remind us that the true God, what kind of God is he?
那么在耶稣所讲的这些所有的比喻当中，这个浪子的比喻啊，就好像是这个皇冠上的一颗明珠。
So in the series of sermon, the storytelling by Jesus, the parable of the prodigal son is just like a jewel in the crown.
脍炙人口啊。
And it's very popular.
那么浪子的比喻，这个故事就焦点就集中在上帝的属性上。
So the parable of the prodigal son focuses on the attribute of God, on His mercy and His grace.
耶稣用了一个这个浪子的比喻来告诉我们这一个我们可以理解的生活经验。
And so use the prodigal son to help us to understand, the image of God.
讲说上帝是何等的怜悯，何等的恩典，是何等的接纳。
And what His mercy and grace and His tolerance.
所以我们必须要克服我们头脑中有关上帝影像这些错误的影像。
So we need to overcome some of the misconception of God.
因为这些阻碍我们跟上帝来亲近。
Because those barriers would prevent us to get close to him.
那么只有我们更正这些错误的影像，我们才能真正的来亲近上帝。
But we must correct our misconceptions before we can truly know God.
那么爱上帝之所爱，连上帝之所怜。
To love what he loves and to have a compassion what he has compassion for.
那么这就是我们爱神真正的体现。
This is really manifestation of the love of God.
那么真正认识上帝的人是有福的。
And the one who truly know God are blessed.
因为这一切都开始于我们对上帝这个本相的认知。
And all this begins with the recognition of God's true image.
上帝时刻地在呼唤着我们回家。
God always calls us back home.
盼望着我们去亲近他。
And hoping that we can enjoy his presence and get close to him.
也期望着我们享受与他的同在。
Enjoy his presence.
那么以前在西班牙13世纪的时候有一个基督徒啊。
And 13th century, there was a Christian in Spain.
那么他的属灵的一个改变，一个起飞，就是他在一个山洞里面他跟神在一起祷告的一个经历。
So the change that he's experienced with God, it started with when he was in 山洞是 cave.
那么他在那个山洞里祷告的时候，他才真正的认识到自己是什么样的人。
When he was praying in that cave, he finally recognized what kind of person he was.
那么他才真正的意识到说上帝是何等的慈爱跟恩典。
He finally realized what God is such a merciful and loving God.
所以他生命的完全的改变呢，就是不但是使他经历了神的恩典哈。
So the total change of him that is started with the experience of God's love.
那么也让他影响了很多人的生命。
Therefore, he has influenced many people after that.
这个基督徒的名字他就叫罗耀拉。
And so his name is Loyola.
那么他成立的耶稣会影响了世代代的基督徒。
And he's he started with 耶稣会是
借助。
Okay, Jesus, yes.
那么他的一个方法就是怎么样去亲近上帝，他发现他很难跟上帝去沟通啊。
And sometimes he finds very hard to get very close to God, so he starts teaching how we can get really draw close to God first.
所以他的方法就是说，你想象说耶稣在你的身边，你与他来交谈。
So you just image that Jesus is present with you and you are talking to him.
那么借着耶稣，你把你的心意跟上帝来沟通。
Through Jesus, then you tell God how you feel.
所以他的这个方法呢，真的是任何人都可以做的。
And so his method, almost anyone can do it.
那么他教导这个方法很多的人，那么很多人也因着这个方法改变了他的生命。
And so he have taught that to many people, and people has experienced the same thing he did.
那么在今天结束这篇讲章的时候，我就想请大家来思考，你上帝中的你在头脑中上帝的影像是什么样子。
Before closing, I want you to image that what is the God in your head.
这个影像是不是合乎我们上经所教导的上帝的那些属性
？And so those image is that what the Bible talk about.
我也真是希望大家可以用这样的祷告。跟耶稣面对面的这样倾心吐意。
And so really through this image of God, we can really come to the Lord and to talk to him and pour our heart out.
我想这就是回归上帝的一个开始。
And this is the beginning of returning to God.
也是我们属灵生命腾飞的一个新的起点。
And that will take off that our spiritual experience.
让我们一起来低头祷告。
And let's pray together.
天父上帝，我们感谢主的恩典。
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace.
主，你真是将你的独生子耶稣基督赐给我们。
You give us your forgotten Son to us.
为的是向我们来启示你是一个何等样的神。
And so to tell us what a wonderful God you are.
主啊，求你怜悯我们，我们的心常常是被蒙蔽的。
And please have a mercy on us. Our heart is sometimes blind.
我们的眼睛常常也看不清主你的本相。
We cannot see the true image of you.
今天借着这个浪子的故事，让我们再一次来思考，主你是何等恩典怜悯的神。
And through the prodigal son, that really teaches us what a mercy God you are.
主你盼望着我们来亲近你。
You expect us to get very close to you.
我们就恳求主，你亲自的帮助我们，要把那些阻碍从我们心中挪去。
We ask you to help us remove those barriers from us.
愿你的爱温暖我们的心。
So your love to warm our hearts.
愿我们更加乐意的亲近你。
So we're willing to draw close to you.
因为能每天的亲近你，真是我们一生最好的福气。
Because this is probably the best blessing of us that to just draw close to you.
我们谢谢主的恩典，祈求祷告，奉靠耶稣基督名求。
We thank you for your grace, and we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.